It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more.
Welcome into the show. Frankly, just a continuation of the last show, honestly. We're here till 12. It's a big day. We got a Rockets game 6. We got what you might suspect is a top 3 in the Astros rotation going over the weekend, starting with Fromber tonight. And, of course, it's Thunderbolts Day, at least for me. Right after the show, going to go see Thunderbolts.
Wow.
I mean, going to the local Cinemark. Now, the Rotten Tomatoes score has come down. It's still like at 89%. I checked it yesterday. What was it, like 95, whatever?
Keep it.
What? You're out now? You're going to see the accountant too again instead?
Yeah.
So, but I'm in. I mean, I've stayed away from, for some reason, a lot of the clips are out, but I've stayed away from stuff. I'm going to go in blind other than knowing that apparently Florence Pugh is really good in it, and we'll see how it goes. A lot of people saying Marvel is back, folks. We'll find out. Today, at least I will. We'll see. Probably going to do pretty good in the box office, because that's kind of just what Marvel does, particularly if people think the movie's going to be good. So, but that's for early in the afternoon. Tonight at 8 o'clock, and more likely like 8:15, because ESPN never starts their games anywhere near the listed time. We got Rockets Warriors. You talked a lot about it this morning. So if you want to get in on something that you didn't hear discussed, you can. I reference the article written by Tim McMahon on ESPN. You can find it on ESPN.com. Just talks about the Rockets and their higher-ups and their thoughts on this team and what they can be and what's the plan. And from the quotes, it's pretty much, hey, we'd love for someone to emerge on this roster to be a star. But if not, we are looking at a lot of possibilities and we're open to a change. So, if you're hoping that this roster will be one that grows together, so do the Rockets. Their GM, their head coach, all those guys, their owner, they all want that. What happens tonight could possibly determine how some of that goes in the offseason, because we know of one name that's available. That's Kevin Durant. The speculation that after Giannis has his meeting with the Bucks, there could be another potential star on the market, but we're not there yet. We got a game 6 tonight, and I'm trying to figure out a way to work into, I think, the Rockets win.
I'm
trying to work my way into saying and believing that the Rockets are going to win this. It's difficult, because I don't think they can go in there and go run away with it. Steve Kerr referenced that they had a true shooting of 95%. So, yes, if they duplicate that, they'll win game 6.
I think that was at halftime.
Yeah, at halftime. He said that. At halftime,
yeah,
the Rockets had a true shooting percentage of 95%.
Which is right. Like, anyone watching that game intuitively was like, man, they're making a lot of shots.
And he said, didn't they score 70-plus points in the first half? So he said, hey, we're not winning that game. Yeah. And, well, it turns out he was right. Although the Warriors made it closer than anyone wanted when it got to 13 and they had the ball in their hands trying to get it to 11. So, I don't think the game goes that way. I kind of think playoff games are one-off entities. Like, sure, there are trends, and there's a, if you want to call it a correlation, that when the Rockets shoot from the free throw line, well, they win games, and then the games they don't win, they're poor. I don't know that them shooting a high percentage from the line is the reason they won, or was it because they're winning that they weren't stressed and they're making free throws? But that has been something that's played out in their losses. Bad from the line. They were bad from the line in San Francisco. And that's what they are as a team. So, I got to hope it's not a close game. I don't have much faith in them winning a close ball game. They have the athletic ability, the talent to jump out on the Warriors and make it a game where they're comfortable and they can win it that way. But if you're telling me with 5 minutes to go, it's a two-possession game, I'm going to side with the Warriors. They'll just find a way. You want to call it veteran know-how, by hook or by crook, whatever it is.
I'm going to call it that, by hook or by crook.
Yeah, of course, they'll cheat their way to a win.
Yeah,
okay.
They'll grift. The Jimmy Butler will pump fake his way to the...
Well, that's not really crook if he actually draws
grifting.
A foul.
It's grifting.
Yeah, it is grifting.
Grifting and crooks. That's
same thing, pretty much.
Yeah, crooks,
go hand in hand.
What do crooks do? They grift.
They steal.
Yeah, but grifting is a stuff.
Is a
crooks
is a version
and grifters,
of theft?
That's, you know...
Synonymous, right?
I don't know if they're the same, but they're in the same circles.
Yeah, they're cousins of each other, at least.
Yeah, they hang out.
Yes. They may not be good friends, but they ain't got problems with each other.
When they're at this, you know, hangout, they're like, oh, Jimmy Butler's here.
Hey, Jalen Brunson's like, hey, Jimmy
this
Butler's
round's
here.
On Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, and we'll get into Jalen Brunson because as much as Detroit fans are sick of him, and there is some sound of the loudest chant of this word I've ever heard. It is an F word, but not a curse word. I don't think I've ever heard the chant that loud before. We'll get to that, but Jalen Brunson had a big night. We talked a lot about Amen Thompson this morning. His brother, who was subbed in and out of the game for whatever reason late, like J.B. Bickerstaff thought Dennis Schroeder would be a better play against Jalen Brunson. Then eventually he subbed Osler back in the game, and maybe Dennis Schroeder didn't get crossed up like Osler Thompson did. Jalen Brunson got a lot of separation to knock down that three and push the Knicks into the next round where they'll face the Celtics. That was a good series. That went six where the home team could not extend to seven. We'll see if Osler's twin brother and the Rockets can go on the road and extend to a game seven in Houston on Sunday. So very excited about the game. It's just I'm unsure if the Rockets have it in them because the Warriors punted on game five, and rightfully so. They weren't in a position where they're going to come back and win. They stopped trying down like 29 with about 6 minutes to go in the quarter of the third quarter. So they realized we're not winning this one. Let's get ready. So they're going to put a lot into this. They think this is their closeout game. I think when they won game four, they thought game six was this game they were going to win to win the series. And they'll have their opportunity. The Rockets will have the opportunity to say, no, you're wrong. You're coming back with us for game seven, and we'll see what you got in a do or die for you. We've played the Rockets in that case would have now played their third or would play their third in the game seven. The Warriors have not faced that pressure yet. We got to hope that the Rockets put some pressure on them and see how they respond. The history suggests the Warriors would come through. That's what the history of the series has suggested. But, I mean, it's a different Warriors team. No Klay. It's Draymond and Steph. They're the ones historically have tortured the Rockets. Now would be the time, despite them having that same uniform on, that we change this. What the Warriors have done to switch up their fortunes, they're going to put on their black jerseys tonight. When they get beat in playoff games, like they did against the Rockets, they go to the black jerseys. Yeah. So the black jerseys will be out for the Warriors tonight.
Why don't they
just
always wear the black jerseys?
Because it
doesn't work like that.
The magic goes away if you just wear them all the time.
Speaking of the supernatural in regards to this series, do you think that maybe the Warriors angered the basketball gods in game five by disrespecting the game of basketball?
By pulling their guys?
Yeah, by punting. You said halfway through the third quarter they quit.
Well, they punted to start the game.
Yeah, these guys quit halfway through the first.
They weren't that interested, yeah.
Do you think the basketball gods are going to reward them for this kind of behavior?
I don't know.
Or do you think they're going to reward the scrappy group of Houston Rockets?
The Warriors lost the game to Memphis that we referenced in the morning show by like...
Yeah.
And then went on to win the title.
Memphis, the basketball gods hate them too.
Well,
because they broke the code.
What code did the Memphis Grizzlies break in 2022?
Someone, maybe they're starting small forward, hard fouled Gary Payton.
Oh, yeah. Second. I do remember a code being broken.
He broke the code.
I remember that was a point in that series as well. People were talking about codes being broken. Did the Rockets break any codes?
No. They've been squeaky clean this entire series.
Hmm.
Like
is that
like church
true?
Mice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't ask Bob Fitzgerald, but...
Weren't they targeting Steph's hand? Isn't that breaking the code?
That's conjecture.
Well,
if you believe the broadcast from Game 5 in North Korea. I mean, the Warriors broadcast.
The disinformation coming out.
Yeah, the state-run media.
You mean North California? Northern California is what you meant?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think those guys are always looking for their glorious leader to be victimized. But in real life, where this game's going to be played, in real life, not in North Korea, the Rockets haven't done nothing wrong this series.
Well,
they've been gentlemen.
So you are asserting that the Warriors broke the code by not trying in Game 5.
That broke the code.
Well,
you don't do that.
In a game against the Grizzlies in 2022, before outscoring them 28-15, they were down going into the fourth quarter. Let's see. They lost by 39. They outscored the team by 13. They're down by, 52 going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
So it appears they punted on that game, too.
Yeah, no, but the Grizzlies broke the code by their starting small forward.
So one code being broken by punting on a Game 5 when you have a 3-1 lead was less of a smack in the face of the gods because the other team
whoever that Canadian small forward was. The basketball gods hate him.
That'd be Dylan Brooks. That's who he's referencing, everyone. Dylan Brooks did it. So Dylan Brooks now, his slate is clean because his team lost and he's now been traded. Or not traded, but gone to another team.
Yeah, under no circumstances would he have returned to the Memphis Grizzlies.
And look how they've turned out since they've made that decision.
They're killing it.
So
they replaced Santi Aldama over me?
Who's now a free agent.
That's what Dylan Brooks is saying. John Conchar over me?
I don't know if that's rolling around in Dylan Brooks' head.
I don't think anyone in the audience is like, oh, yeah, John Conchar, the guy on the Grizzlies. And I think they think I'm just making up names.
Santi Aldama, they should know. He's going to be one of the best free agents on the market, mostly because it's a soft list.
Yeah, I was going to say, that says what you need to know.
He's in the top 15, the top 20 free agents in 2026, because it's or 2025, this offseason, because it's not a great free agency market for people who are looking to add to their team. If anyone's going to make a game-changing or franchise-changing move, it'll probably be through trade, which is something the Rockets may have to discuss earlier than they would want if they don't win tonight. I'm going to need them to jump out 30-21 or something, 30, and then keep it going. Cause if it's
I was going to say 30-21 after one, I'm still like...
Yeah, because if it's 22-20 in that 20 range of Warriors within a couple points. I'm like, all right, I kind of figure how this game is going to go.
Yeah.
Even before it's played.
I need 10-point lead with 2:30 left in the game.
And you're comfortable with the win.
Then I'll be like, okay.
Yeah,
I feel good.
If Fred gets off to another great start, cool. I'm going to need Jalen to join him.
That would be cool if Jalen Green was just awesome tonight. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Maybe 2 out of 6 would be nice. Two out of six games where he's really great.
Have Milwaukee be like, oh, we need this guy.
Okay. Great, but still trade him for Giannis. Okay. Got it. We will talk about less about Giannis, but the rest of the NBA, because a former Buck pulled off what a current Buck did a couple nights ago to close out the Pistons and Knicks. He missed Malik Beasley's act very late when they brought him back in to potentially knocked down a game-tying jumper. He pulled a Gary Trent. It's not something you want to do. Not if you're the designated shooter with the chance to put a game on ice in Gary Trent's case. And in Malik Beasley's case, a three would have tied that game and sent it to overtime. So we'll get into the Knicks and Pistons. We'll talk Astros as well because they've got not a big series, but they're top three as far as at least accomplishments are going the next 3 days, and Lance McCauley's back on Sunday. So a lot to get to. We'll have Michael Carroll at 11:30. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch in movies and TV. A lot of people like that segment because they call in, so you can save your call for that. Or if you want to call in about anything else, you can in between now and 11:30. So it's me and Sean. Till noon, we will be back.
ESPN 97.5. Here.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Really good night of NBA basketball last night. Knicks close out the Pistons. Pistons gave it a go. Had a lead late. until Jalen Brunson took over. Look at that. Tibbs had him in the game as opposed to the 2 minutes where he didn't play as the Pistons won game five. And then we had the nightcap where the Clippers, I would say somewhat surprisingly, fought off elimination. Not because they weren't capable. They do have Kawhi. It's just that they're the Clippers. You assume once they lost game five, they would just go out meekly in game six. But hey, new arena, actual home court advantage, and they'll push that to seven. The Nuggets have played, it's either six or seven game sevens in the last 6 years or so. That's a lot. So their fans have been stressed quite a bit, and they'll have the opportunity to get to the second round and face a well-rested OKC team. But before Jalen Brunson did all he did to close out the Pistons, the Pistons fans let him have it. We know that Jalen Brunson is a great player, but he's looked at as someone who, let's just be kind and say, he grifts his way into foul calls and trips to the free throw line. There's another word for it, and the Pistons fans use that word. It may be the loudest chant I've ever heard when it comes to this word. I don't think I ever remember a time where someone or a crowd used this word this loudly. Here is the Pistons crowd serenading Jalen Brunson.
Obviously, as it goes deeper, it means they're looking at as many angles as possible. They haven't made any determination quite yet. It's just the second team foul against the Pistons. If it stands. And right now, the Pistons fans are chanting, flopper, flopper.
They have, I'm sure, been frustrated as Brunson has.
That's Ian Eagle, I believe, and Grant Hill on the call. I love playoff basketball. The Pistons and their fans haven't had a lot to celebrate over the last 6-7 years. They're back in the playoffs. A lot of excitement in that city and that arena for it. And they've got their villain. And the villain showed why he's more than a flopper. That crossover to get separation from Ausar Thompson, dirty. He did the other twin dirty last night and got the separation, knocked down to three. And then on the ensuing possession, Detroit had about 4.3 seconds to go to get a shot. So they could make a couple passes, and they did. It wound up in their designated three-point shooter's hands. Malik Beasley came off the bench for that moment and fumbled the ball out of bounds. Second time in over the course of this week that someone had a chance who is a shooter, and they fumbled it. Now, all Gary Trent had to do was hold on the ball and get fouled. He was going to the free throw line, and he could have given the Bucks a three-point lead, so Halliburton's layup to win it would have had to have been a three to tie it. Instead, and maybe we don't get Giannis versus John Halliburton if Gary Trent Jr. had simply held on to the basketball.
God, well, we would be missing out, though, as an American people.
The sliding doors of what could have happened if Gary Trent Jr. had simply held on to the ball. Malik Beasley, his drop of the ball out of bounds didn't result in a confrontation between Jalen, like Rick Brunson and Cade Cunningham. Rick Brunson, an actual coach for the Knicks, so it wouldn't have been a dad coming out of the stands to talk trash to an opponent. It would have just been a coach doing it. But Malik Beasley simply dropped the ball out of bounds. We really missed another Malik Beasley shimmy. That's another thing we missed out on. You're out on the shimmy?
I mean, I'm not sitting there being like, man, I wish I had Malik Beasley shimmying.
First thought that crossed my mind. Damn it.
The first thought that crossed my mind is, oh, my God, he pulled a Gary Trent.
Well, that was my first thought as well.
Which is not good for Gary Trent.
No.
But like you said, Gary Trent's even worse because they were already in a good spot.
Yeah, and he had – actually, it's worse also because he had committed a dumb turnover the previous possession.
Yeah. And it, like, Malik Beasley still had to then make a jump shot.
True.
Which he is a good shooter, but, like, even a wide open
it is
good
a
shooter,
last-second shot yeah. to tie a game. There's a lot that had to happen. But he was going to get a good look.
He was going to get a great look.
He just fumbled it out of bounds.
And although, does this tarnish Cade Cunningham's legacy because he didn't want to take the last shot?
No.
People are asking.
No one's asking because Skip Bayless doesn't have a TV show.
And no one cares enough
about the Pistons or Cade Cunningham. But Cade Cunningham did miss the layup the previous possession that then Brunson hit a three. He had a layup. He was in close, left-handed layup. He missed it, completely overshot it. And then the Knicks got a timeout after the defensive rebound and knocked down a three. So Cade,
no clutch chain. against the clutch player of the year, Jalen Brunson. The Pistons have a player who doesn't have the clutch gene.
Skip Mapes at it again. The clutch gene. Look, Cade's first playoff run, he had a shot. He did not make
it. He didn't even take it.
He took the first.
Oh, yeah, he missed it.
He just missed it. This time, he made the basketball play, which is the accusation that LeBron had to fight against, not willing to take the shot. No, I just make a good basketball play. And the good basketball play was to get a wide open shot for your designated sniper who has the hands of, I don't know, who dropped passes in the
Gary
NFL
Trent
recently.
Yes.
I was going to.
Gary Trent
Jr. I was trying to find an NFL comp, but yes, just Gary Trent Jr. He has the hands of Gary Trent Jr., and he fumbled it out of bounds.
Do you think Jalen Green stands for just like, okay, this is a minor win for us?
I think there were some people, as ridiculous as it is, who looked at that and go, what? Cade, not so great, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some people who thought that.
That's what I'm channeling. That's the energy I'm trying to channel is the Jalen Green
Cade,
Stan Army. Because I kind of respect them at this point.
Cade's team blew a lead. They're up by multiple scores. Mm-hmm. Blew that. Cade missed the layup. Cade passed on a potential game-tying shot. They're all things people can maneuver in their heads to make it seem like the Cade-Jalen Green thing is more even than you think.
Say what you want about Jalen Green, but in...
He's not passing the ball?
No, I was going to say in game four, he wasn't responsible for his team blowing a lead in the fourth quarter.
Because he didn't play?
He didn't play in the fourth
quarter. His coach deemed him not a positive enough to play in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Is that a win?
That's not long enough to fit on the tweet, though.
Depends. Did you pay for your check mark? It'll fit.
I'm a Jalen Green stan, so yes, I did pay for my Twitter.
Yes, you would have enough characters to add context or not, depending on how it furthers your agenda. So be it. But hey, nice run for the Pistons. That was a fun team. They are less aggressive than the Rockets, but not so much. Particularly when Isaiah Stewart and Ron Holland are playing, then. They ain't about it the same way the Rockets are.
That's the thing, is that the Rockets' best players
are about it.
The Pistons need Ron Holland, who is kind of unplayable in the playoffs. And,
as a rookie, it makes some sense.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying he is unplayable.
Currently, yes.
And Isaiah Stewart.
Who's hurt.
Other than that, I'm not calling these guys, you know, soft. But it's like Jalen Duren, who's physical. He got caught mouthing something to Jalen Brunson as he was on the ground. I don't think it was the Amin Thompson vocab.
No.
But I think it was related.
I think he might have been calling him a flop or two, according to people who like to read lips.
Oh, yeah. I think it was MF.
MF and flopper, maybe, yeah.
But, yeah, that I think the Rockets' aggression starts at the top. It starts with the veteran leader, Dylan Brooks. It starts with their coach, Ime Udoka.
Well, Mike Breen, because this was the series where the local teams could be on, and for people who don't know, Mike Breen does Knicks games when he's not on ABC. He was calling the game for the Knicks, and he's talking about how much of a complainer that Bickerstaff is. Like, from the start of the game to the end, all he does is talk. Mike Breen was like, it's the worst I've ever seen. He never stopped talking. So Bickerstaff may not have all of Ime's energy, but Bickerstaff's got some of that in him, too, where he's going to want to be heard, and he has fostered this physical style because Isaiah Stewart was always going to be willing to punch you in the face if you made him bleed. But we didn't think, maybe because they're bad, so we weren't paying attention. We didn't think of the Pistons as a team who was about it.
Yeah, it was.
So maybe Bickerstaff brought that to the table.
It was Isaiah Stewart's an insane person because he's trying to fight LeBron in this random Tuesday night game. But yeah, it wasn't like a watch out for these guys are some dogs, you know. That is a new development this year.
Yeah, and they've added veterans.
Yeah,
Malik
Schroeder.
Schroeder's an agitator. He doesn't back down. And of course, Beasley didn't appreciate Giannis making fun of him, doing the shimmy while Beasley was laying on the ground. So Giannis was taunting him. So there is something there.
But they also got Tobias Harris.
You got to balance stuff out. Yeah. You can't have.
They got the nice twins.
You can't have all of these guys be just guys who are willing to fight. You have to have a balance.
They got the meek Thompson.
Watch it. Because I don't think Amin would appreciate you talking about his brother that way. So while you may want to point out that he ain't Amin will point out to you he's still my twin. So watch your mouth. Amin Thompson, thankfully for Sean, is in San Francisco, likely not listening.
Also, yes. Thankfully for both me and Lance, he's not here to body slam us like he did Tyler Herro.
Yes. And or just hit you in the head like he did Giannis. There are more like the Tyler Herro thing
or Maxi Kleber.
Like the Tyler Herro thing will live in infamy because he legitimately just ragdolled a 6'4 man to the ground. And plus he's Tyler Herro, so it makes it funny for people. But he won't just challenge Tyler Herro. A lot of people can get it. No. Don't worry about that.
Gary Payne II can get it.
Sean Mapes can get it if he doesn't watch it. That's all. All right, Keith, we see you. You want to talk about Kawhi Leonard, who played in the second half of that doubleheader, helped his team get a win. We'll get to that when we come back. If anyone else wants to join us and talk about whether it be basketball or something else, you can. If you don't know the number, it's 713-780-3776. Keith, hang on. We will be back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's where you can make some money this weekend watching Houston sports, whether it's the Rockets on Friday tonight in Game 6, or the Astros in the series upcoming against the White Sox. Maybe it's not up yet, but maybe you want to take some Lance McCullers more. Maybe you believe in McCullers on Sunday, or you believe that the Rockets can extend this to a Game 7. Jalen Green, is this the game where he steps up? Is this the game where he goes more than 23 points plus rebounds plus assists? Or do you think that it's Alperen Şengün, more than 36.5 points plus rebounds and assists? He's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds in these in the series against the Warriors. And then, of course, you got playoff Jimmy. Have to believe that he's going to show up after not actually taking the night off on Wednesday, but essentially taking the night off on Wednesday. Can he go more than 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists? They even have the Nuggets and Clippers Game 7 projections up already. And like I said, Astros going to Chicago, going to face the White Sox, and you have Framber Valdez. I think he can pitch more than 17.5, get more than 17.5 pitching outs. I think he can get to, what's that, the sixth inning? He can get past the six and get through six against the White Sox. So you can download the Price Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Price Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Price Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
Not really, Michael. Michael joined us at 11:30. A little late. Sean and Joe and I were discussing our dynasty. Joe made a decision that came back to haunt him. It happens. I appreciate the galaxy brain. Just didn't work out for him.
He also decided he's too good to take the Nebraska job. The Boise State head coach was like, Nebraska? Nah.
I told you. Well, you weren't here for it, but we had a talk about teams who will never win another national title. Now, in CFB 25, maybe that's not the case.
I was going to say ECU won one.
But a team led by a great head coach, ECU.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But
although the message boards in Tallahassee
are on it.
Is he a great coach?
Yeah, Chad Horvath's got a problem. Sorry, that's for like three people, that this conversation. But
Quinn Ewers 2.0.
Okay. I did say the team that actually plays in Lincoln, not the virtual team, will never win another national title. Never in their history.
Probably not.
They won't. NIL, yeah, sure. But they're not going to recruit at a level where they can ever win a national title again.
Yeah, they would need crazy stuff.
They would need a crazy benefactor. They would need Nebraska's Phil Knight to get involved.
He lives in Omaha. I forgot what that guy's name is. The super rich guy that lives in Omaha. Warren Buffett.
Yeah, he donates a lot of his money, but not the college football teams, at least not from what I can tell.
I know. Just what an idiot.
Shouldn't you be trying to further
Big
Red's brand?
That's all I would do. And I might not even be a Texas booster just because I want to be the booster. And there's 25 the boosters. That's kind of the problem with Texas
sometimes, yeah.
But, yeah, I'd just pick a random school and just be like, how would you like to have super nice facilities?
And then when they did some research on you and found out you're a Texas grad, the Texas people come after you like, sorry, I've made my decision.
Respect my decision.
Exactly. Let's get to Keith. Keith wants to talk about Kawhi, who's got a Game 7 coming up against the Nuggets. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me. Big win for the Clippers last night. Obviously, Kawhi, two-time Finals MVP, big win for them to, stave off elimination. But I want to mention James Harden. Like, James Harden gets a lot of slack for, poor playoff performances. That was an elimination game last night, led the team in scoring, big win. What do you guys think about Game 7 Clippers Nuggets? Can James Harden add another signature game to his resume?
In what way when you mean signature game? Add another in a positive way? That would suggest there are several. Look, James Harden has actually played well in elimination games. The game against the Clippers where they came back from 3-1, he played well in the Game 7. Of course, he didn't play in the Game 6. He wasn't part of that comeback, but he did play well in that Game 7. So he does have some on his resume, but he needed last night's game because he was poor in the previous game. So there's the give and take. Like, even going back not that long ago now, but his time with the Sixers. In that series against Boston, which they blew a 3-2 lead because that's what Doc Rivers does, he was great early because Joel Embiid, surprisingly enough, was banged up and wasn't in a place where he could lead the team.
Embiid didn't play in game one.
Yeah, James won a game in Boston because of how great he was. So
41.
We're not talking about him not ever having any moments, but what happened when that series got down to the wire? He disappeared because that's who he is. Game 6 last night, he didn't disappear. I will say he got a little squirrely in the fourth quarter. He wasn't great. Some turnovers, some missed shots, but overall, he played well. And Norm Powell was big, knocking down shots. Derrick Jones Jr. knocked down a couple shots, and Kawhi Leonard did what he did. But it'll be about what happens in Denver, because James's legacy is built on what Keith just tried to set up. And I think we lost someone. If you want to get back in, you can. He has these good performances, and then he sucks you into thinking, you know what, maybe it's time. And then he comes with the James, I can't believe he got me again.
Yeah. So I thought Keith was going to say that he hasn't slept since the end of Clippers Nuggets.
Keith, can you tell us, did you sleep finally? Because you have been going day after day without any sleep for different sports reasons. I hope you've been able to get some sleep. I hope James and his performance got you to bed. You were comforted by James showing up, and now you can get some sleep. So if you look at what he's done in James Harden, because he'll always be a topic of conversation just because – he scored 15 points in their two-point loss at home. He wasn't terrible. He just wasn't that. And he had 11 assists. So that, as far as performing below expectations, sure he did, but it wasn't awful. Shot the ball fine. He just didn't have a big game to go up 3-1. In the game in Denver, when they were trying to take a 3-2 lead in game 5, 11 points, didn't shoot that well from the free throw line, shot 33% from the floor. So he needed last night. And he was good. 28-8-6. As I said, a couple turnovers late, missed a shot or two, but they were able to overcome it. He now has to do it again. See, the thing is this. He's supposed to be a superstar, right? So what he did in game 5 or game 6, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You are the second best player on that team. You are supposed to perform that way. Now go do it again. You should not be applauded for the way you played when that's how you're expected to play. He has set a standard because of how poorly he's played in other ones. Well, look at James. Look what he did in the Game 6. Look at him. Congratulate him. No. That's what you're supposed to do. Now go do it again in a Game 7.
Now do it again.
Yeah.
And then guess what? If he does it again in Game 7.
Keep doing it.
Do it against the Thunder.
Keep doing it. That's his job. He is not a bit player where we can say it's the James Harden game. Because the role player had a game that decided a series because he showed up. He's not a role player. The problem is he has played at a level where you want to applaud him for showing up.
Yeah. And it's already, like, his prime has already been defined.
Yes.
Like all the best shots he had to win an NBA title, all of them came up short.
Now, you give James credit for this. He played 47 minutes. He is a guy who will play and play and play. He plays all the time. So that is something you can't take away from him. You would just hope, with all that playing he's doing, he'd show up more often. And now he has another opportunity. What is he, like 35 years old? We're still having these talks. He's 35 years old. This is still a conversation about him.
I mean, we mentioned the Game 6 against the Spurs on the morning show. That game happened in 2017.
Yeah.
That game happened almost a decade ago.
And it's just one of several of these type of games for him. That one might have been the worst because of the context. You're coming home down 3-2. Kawhi's not playing. Parker's not playing.
You just punt that one, wait for game 7?
No, you're down 3-2.
Oh, wait,
You can't punt a game where you're down 3-2. Sorry.
So that 2-for-11 actually counts?
Do you think he was confused and thought they were up, and then someone informed him, actually, we're trailing in this series. You might want to pick it up, and then by that time, it was too late?
Yeah, they're already down 40.
Yeah, too late. Jonathan Simmons was doing whatever he wanted in that series, particularly in that game against you. So thanks, Keith, for the call. I know you're like the patron saint of lost causes, mostly when it comes to free agents in the NBA and in the NFL. This guy, don't want to call him a lost cause, but this might be his last best chance to change some of the thoughts about him. And like as Sean pointed out, if he does it in game 7 and they win, now you got the Thunder and Lu Dort after you and Cason Wallace after you on the defensive end for the next series. So good luck. Good luck, man. Hopefully your guy, I guess he might be your guy, gets it done. I'm trying to think who else Keith could call in about and congratulate. Anyone else in basketball in this current playoffs risen to the level of James when it comes to failures and the never-ending belief, at least for some people, that he'll turn it around? Is Karl Anthony Towns getting there? He was kind of soft last night.
Yeah, pull up his numbers last night.
He wasn't good.
Got carried.
Fouled out. Scored 10 points. Karl Anthony Towns back to the dumb fouls that get him in real trouble. So then when he actually has to commit a foul because it's something that will actually help the team, he fouls out. He stopped a clear layup and he fouled out of the game because he did it. Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is probably next as far as guys who need some version of playoff redemption.
Yeah, there really isn't that many in these playoffs, and partially it's because the 76ers didn't make the playoffs.
That's true. They got Paul George there.
Paul George and Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid,
boom. Two right there. Maybe that's why they didn't make the playoffs.
Might be something to it.
Yeah. Maybe if Shea was American or played in a bigger market, people would be like, hey, didn't you kind of like, who'd they lose to last year? Oh, the Mavericks.
Yeah.
It's like, hey.
Where were you?
One seed lost to the Mavericks.
Yeah, they're one seed again.
Against a fatso.
Is that how
you're the only guy who can't beat that fatso?
Well, the Clippers couldn't beat them last year, but your point is made. Sure. But they didn't have Kawhi. That fatso is what he's going to be described as going forward. Nico Harrison would love for that to be the thought going forward. Hey, look, the fatso lost again. Well, J.J. Redick challenged said fatso, if we're continuing down that line. We'll see. He was very general, but also said some individuals. So we can all guess who he's talking about. I wonder who he's talking about when he says they need to be in championship shape. Probably not the guy who's spending $1 million on his body at 40 years old. It might be the mid-20s guy who you just acquired. So there it is. We'll go to break with that. I did see someone else. You want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. If you want to stand for someone, come on with it. We welcome it. And then we'll try to listen to you and decide whether we think what you're saying is viable or we'll just turn it into jokes. You know the show. All right. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Just popped across my timeline. Like, I forgot that Deion played baseball. Even, it's been years, and I knew he was a two-sport star. I just forgot. And then I just saw this timeline. It was on my timeline. So it was a video of his return when he played for the Reds. And, it's Deion, great athlete. Had a single, hit a home run after 3 years away from baseball. Just popped up after a stint in the minors and was great. For all the talk about his son and just Deion's talk himself while he's a coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, dude was great. I just forgot all about the baseball thing until that video popped up, and he was just being Deion. So let's get to this, and then we'll get into the second hour of the show. We'll do this quick thing here. CBS Sports has a list of the worst quarterback rooms in all of the NFL. Now, the Texans aren't on it. No worries there, because they got Will Greer. So, no worries there. But
they signed Will Greer.
They drafted Will Greer.
Oh, great. You mean Graham Mertz?
Yeah, what am I saying?
I got so excited they had Will Greer on their team.
No, you're right. Ex-Florida quarterback, so I don't think are very good. Whatever.
Yeah.
I got confused. Yes. Graham Mertz. They drafted Graham Mertz. Apologies. Thanks, Sean, for getting me back on track.
That was me just 100%. I thought
excited?
I missed it.
No.
Because Will Greer is the type of player who can get signed to your favorite team. And
you not know it?
Not notice?
Yeah. No, it was Graham Mertz, who I think he and Will Greer are pretty much the same. But wrong on that.
Yeah. Kyle Trask is like, those guys are trash.
Is Kyle Trask still in Tampa? Where is he
now?
He might be. I don't know. But either way, the Texans aren't on the list, not because of Will Greer or Graham Mertz, because of CJ Stroud. But there are two division teams on the list, which makes you feel pretty good, because without good quarterback play, you got to rush. I would have thrown a third. I would have put the Jags in there too. But
all three of them?
There's still some belief in Trevor Lawrence, so there it is. But the two on the list are, it doesn't take much to figure it out, are the Titans and the Colts. And the Colts are second behind the Steelers, with the caveat that if the Steelers sign Aaron Rodgers, they'll get removed from the list. But right now, if you look at the Steelers quarterback room, it's Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson. And the first word I think of is woof. That's rough. Who do you think that they have as their projected starter right now without Aaron Rodgers in the room?
Is it Rudolph?
It's Will Howard. They think Will Howard.
Will Howard.
That's what CBS. That's what I said.
Come on.
Will Howard's not starting for them.
They draft him in what, the fifth?
Mike Tomlin will start Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph started before for the Steelers.
I know. That's why he started before. He's had to start Tennessee because Will Levis stinks. He will start for the Steelers.
Guess,
Will Howard's not starting for them.
I guess, yeah. Kansas State last year decided they wanted to start Avery Johnson over him.
Defending national champion. Well, he can't defend. He's out of eligibility. But national champion, Will Howard.
No, I'm saying that is fair. But I'm saying Kansas State took a look at their roster and goes, can only pay one of these guys.
Will Howard is the epitome of a bus rider.
That's not a bus driver.
It's who he is.
A lot of the recent national championships are bus riders.
You put JJ McCarthy in that mix?
In Michigan, yeah, he's for sure a bus rider. Stetson, both years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're good. They're good bus riders.
But their rosters were such that
Not Joe Burrow.
But if you found a competent quarterback to replace them with, those teams likely win national titles.
Mac Jones at Bama.
Mac Jones put up numbers, but
he was like the Cadillac of bus drivers. He was like the what's the best kind of bus to drive? He was a charter bus.
He's a tour bus for a big band. He's like if Aerosmith was on a tour and they were riding a bus. That was Mac Jones. That's what he was.
Yeah.
A supreme bus.
It was a super group. There's a lot of stars on that bus.
Yes, he wasn't driving. He was in the back, doing a good job being in the back, but still in the back, riding the bus. So Will Howard, the projected starter as it stands, I think Mason Rudolph would start there because Mike Tomlin feels like the type who would start the journeyman. The Colts are number two. Of course, their projected starter is Anthony Richardson for now. The Titans wind up at five, even with Cam Ward in the mix. They have a bad quarterback room because it includes Will Levis, Brandon Allen, and Tim Boyle. So, and the others, notables in the top 10. Let's see. The Jets are there. They still give the Broncos as number eight, worst quarterback room.
That's tough.
That's tough when you have Bo Nix, who made the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Bo Nix, I mean, if you're doing this, I because he's you wouldn't say he's the 24th best quarterback or 25th best quarterback in the league. Also, they said that if the Steelers signed Aaron Rodgers, that they would be off this list, no questions asked.
I don't know if they'd be off, but they wouldn't be number one.
Okay. I thought I
misspoke, but they wouldn't be number one.
Okay.
I don't know where they put
them. They should still be on the list if they have Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
I would agree. If Bo Nix can remain, if the Broncos can remain on the list despite Bo Nix being there,
yeah.
If you're actually evaluating entire quarterback rooms and actually giving an honest assessment of all these guys, yes, Aaron Rodgers on the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard on the list should remain.
Were the Panthers on that?
Because
Bo Nix was better than Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. I don't know who they're. Is Andy Dalton still with the Panthers?
Maybe
that helps their
good
cause.
Backup.
Yeah. The Saints are 7. The Broncos are 8. The Giants are 9. And the Seahawks, after their giant acquisition.
Jalen Milroe?
Sam Darnold. No. Sam Darnold is our number 10. That's disrespectful to Sam Darnold.
I mean, they said Will Howard's going to start for the Steelers.
If
Milroe might start.
No, not to you. Not from you. But to CBS, that's disrespectful. Sam Darnold's they got Sam Darnold. He's coming off a lot of wins. He might be a bus ride or two, but he can't keep the Seahawks off the top 10. Drew Lock and Jalen Milroe are the other guys in that room.
Yeah, this is like we did the same thing last summer, and not just us, but it's like always one of the top 10 lists that gets tweeted out in June of the top quarterback rooms. In college football,
yeah,
and it's always just like, how good's the starter, and then do they have a 5-star backup? Like that's
yeah,
just how
pretty
you
much.
Get.
If you recruit it well and your starter,
and that's how
good.
You get to the top.
Yeah,
even though it should just be like, nope, Cam Ward was the best quarterback, so they had the best room.
Sure,
but they always want to like, but
what if he gets hurt?
Yeah, that's how Quinn Ewers was the starter for the best quarterback room in college football last year.
Because Arch was waiting in the wing.
Yeah, because it's like his backup is so good. Oh,
we'll find that out this year. How good the backup.
And then we'll find that out, and we'll also find out how good Will Howard is for the Steelers. Week one.
Good luck, Steeler fans. If Will Howard's your starting quarterback, I don't want to ride for Sam Darnold, but this is a disrespectful list to put him on the list.
I don't know. Yeah, it is. It is. It's a little disrespectful. I got caught up in the last like three games that he played for the Vikings. He was so good for the first 13, but yeah, that is he was better than Bo Nix. Like, and Bo Nix is someone we don't think should be on the list.
Before we go, I need you to hit the horn, Sean.
I know. Hold on, 1 second. Sorry.
Greg Popovich stepping down. As the Spurs head coach, he'll be team president, but he will no longer coach the Spurs. So after what has been a rough year, he's had illnesses that haven't been that open about, but we know he's been away from the team almost since the beginning of the year. He is no longer the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He's still part of that organization, and while Wimby will become the face of the organization, Greg Popovich has held that title as face of franchise. For like two decades, yes, with Duncan and Manu and Parker, but we knew the Spurs as that's Greg Popovich's team, and that's Greg Popovich. Now, while he will still have a say in what goes on there, they're going to be run or at least coached by a new face, whether it be the interim who's there throughout the course of the season or maybe someone else. Maybe the Spurs are going to go and look to the outside to go higher. Maybe Michael Malone wants to coach the Spurs. That's a name out there, a big-name coach who's accomplished. Wouldn't be a bad landing point or landing spot for Mike Malone to go coach Wimby and De'Aaron Fox, and who knows what the pick will be this year.
Steph Castle, Rookie of the Year.
So if you're looking for a spot where a out-of-work head coach would choose to go coach, I can't find a better spot than the Spurs.
Do you think they could poach a sitting head coach? This doesn't really happen in pro sports that often.
No, I mean, Gruden, it happened when the Bucks traded for him
from
the Raiders, right? That's how that went down. I can't think of the last basketball coach who got traded because that's how it goes. If the guy
or
wants
just
to leave.
Like, yeah.
Well, isn't it how if he's under contract, he can't just take another job. At least the team could allow him to.
Yeah, that's
or
how
they
it
could say, you can trade us picks and we'll let him go coach for you.
And cash considerations.
Yeah, I think that's – I know it worked
that
way.
Oh, Doc Rivers got traded.
To the Clippers?
Yeah.
So it has happened, but we're talking now like over a decade ago now.
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, so it's happened, but it takes picks, and the Spurs have quality picks. So if you want to trade –
I mean, it should only be a second-round pick. No coach is worth a first-round pick. Who's the best coach in the league right now?
Well, he's normally given this title, but he had a rough year. Let's just say Spo's sick of being in Miami.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people do. They just like, man, being in Miami sucks.
No, but he doesn't think he can win. He wants to start fresh.
Oh, okay. He looks at Bam Adebayo. He's like,
pfft. Yeah, I'd rather go coach Wimby. Start fresh. The Spurs will give him a first-round pick for Spo. Even if you don't think he's
lottery pick? Because they have two lottery picks.
The worst of the two. A first-round pick. They would.
Maybe they would. Maybe they would. I wouldn't. That's how I'd say it.
Got it.
I mean, that's not a Spo thing. Like that Steve Kerr, whoever you think the best is. Joe Mazzulla? Nah.
Understood.
Not doing it. It's a players' league.
So let me put it to you this way. You wouldn't give up...
J.J. Redick? No.
No. You wouldn't trade... Let's use a recent Rocket example. You wouldn't trade Usman Garuba for Spoelstra?
He was like the 20th pick.
Fine. Let's add a lottery pick that didn't work out because there's plenty of those.
Yeah. Markieff Morris?
You wouldn't trade Markieff, you wouldn't
the
trade
14th
Markieff
pick?
Morris for Spoelstra?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I would.
So, yes. It's always better in your head because who knows? You could draft the guy in the lottery who turns your franchise around. Or you could draft Zach Edey.
But it's also
hold on, let's use a recent one. Zach Edey. You wouldn't trade Zach Edey for Spoelstra? Starting center.
That's tough. All rookie first team.
And a soft rookie class.
And what terrible rookie class. I think it's more that the seventh or whatever. I think it was the seventh pick, sixth pick, whatever it was.
Yeah, you would not.
It's just that that player that you could trade that pick for is worth more than a coach.
The hope of the player you could pick.
No, trade it. So if you were like, hey, I want to trade the seventh pick in the draft for whoever, that player would be better than having a coach. Having that specific coach.
You mean acquiring a existing player?
Yeah.
But some
like if the Rockets use like the pick they get from Phoenix to trade for somebody, like that I would rather do that than trade for Ime Udoka.
But you wouldn't acquire a great player with just a seventh. It would take more.
No,
it would
be like a good role player.
Yeah. So you think who's the phrase? Nikhil Alexander-Walker is worth more than a great coach.
Give me that.
I don't think a lot of people would agree.
I know. But I don't think coaching like
matters.
I think there's like five guys that matter.
And that's why I gave you
five guys at the bottom.
That's
who
why
matter.
That's why I gave you the top of the list.
I think the middle 20.
Like I'm not
just
trading
does not matter.
As great of a job as Bickerstaff did this year, I'm not trading a lottery pick for JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
But I would trade a lottery pick for a past champion who,
Kenny Atkinson? Coach of the year?
He's got to prove more.
Coach of the year? What?
If he wins he's only done it for a year.
Okay. Rings?
Like, Michael Malone has been a good playoff coach for years now. Spoelstra can throw him on the list as well.
Fired. You're a good playoff coach for years. You get fired for five games.
Well, because you can't stop fighting with your GM about player and personnel moves. All right. We are way late. Thanks to Pop.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pop. You've been ruining our lives for years. Look what you did. All right. We'll go to break with that. We'll try to get back on schedule. Good luck with that for us. And then Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. Sean Mapes, player over coach. In most cases, I would agree. But there are some coaches who I think can change. You're a college football fan. You think coaches don't matter as much?
Or is it just sport.
An NBA?
Yeah, it's an NBA thing. I think college.
Well, Steve Kerr changed the Warriors because Mark Jackson was at the bottom and Steve Kerr was at the top.
Yeah, but
there's a big switch.
They had top five picks for 5 years.
But they were a first or second round exit till he got there. Same picks.
No, I'm saying with Steve Kerr, they were the worst team in the league.
Understood.
Like twice.
But when he got there, he flipped that franchise and made them a contender for years until it fell apart. And then now they may be back. We'll see.
Yes, but there's so many coaches that it does not matter. Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers actually got traded.
Doc Rivers, yeah.
That's the guy who actually gets traded.
Yeah, but he's mid-tier. I'm saying you got to find a great one, and then you can have a real conversation about it. But yeah.
Go break.
We don't have to, but we will.
You're caping up for coaches.
I like NBA coaches who are great. College coaches, whatever. I've seen enough average ones. We'll go to break with that.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.